This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ولا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Welcome everybody to a juz a day. Today we are studying the 16th juz of the Quran. The 16th juz of the Quran begins at ayah number 75 of Surah Al-Kahf and ends with the end of Surah Taha. So it is 1875 to the end of Surah Taha. It is it includes the last part of the 18th juz includes it includes the last part of the 18th surah, Surah Kahf. It includes the entirety of Surah 19 and Surah 20. Surah 19 is Surah Maryam, named after Maryam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam. And Surah Taha is named after the first two, the first verse and the first two words that are part of that Surah Taha, the two disjointed letters. And that surah is largely about Prophet Musa alayhi salam and the challenges he faced and the adversities that he overcame. This entire juz, you can look at from the lens of this one theme that unites it all, which is the trials and tribulations of life. The trials and tribulations of a faithful life. You're living as a person who is faithful. That brings with it trials and tribulations. Some of this is by, just what life is all about. Some of these are as a consequence of your iman, as a consequence of your faith. And both of those, the believer is to go through them and navigate them with the guidance of the Quran, the light of the Quran, and by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, let us pick up from speaking about, let's pick up from ayah number 50, of Surah Kahf. We're going to backtrack a little bit to the previous juz and pick up from there to speak about the story of the tribulations of life that Surah Kahf mentions. Okay, it mentions the tribulation of following the true religion, and we spoke about that when we spoke about the young youth of the cave. Okay, it spoke about or speaks about the having luxury and money, and how money and luxury can be a big test and big trial. This is actually from ayah number 32 to ayah number 46. This is the second story of Surah Kahf. Okay, the third story of Surah Kahf is the story of Iblis, Surah ayah number 50. Okay, the fourth story is the story of Musa, ayah number 60. And the fifth story in this surah is the story of Dhul-Qarnayn, who we'll talk about in a little bit, ayah number 83. So the story of the luxury, luxury and money is a trial for people, ayah number 32. I encourage you to read that on your own. It's quite self-explanatory. But the idea is we should be aware that the luxuries that we enjoy, the pleasures that we have in life, they could also become a test of our devotion, of our commitment. And they should not become as such. We should be wary of that. Okay, this one is an interesting one. This is the story of Iblis, and what it demonstrates is the trial of knowledge and status. Iblis had knowledge. He had a stature that he enjoyed. He was the highest ranking non-angel, right? And he enjoyed that so much that became a source of, that became a trial for him. Right? But قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا Ayah 50. When we said to the angels, prostrate yourselves before Adam, all prostrate themselves except Satan. كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِ He was one of the jinn. This is explicit in the Quran. فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْدِ رَبِّهِ He disobeyed his Lord's command. Okay? This is the test that he experienced was of, he was tested in his the thing that was dear to him was his stature, and he was tested by that, and he failed that test. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that about him. He also mentions that there is no reason for him to have that stature. Allah is the one who gave him the knowledge in the first place. I did not call them to witness at the creation of the heavens of the earth, call them to witness at the creation of the heavens and the earth, nor at their own creation. I don't take my helpers, those who lead others astray. The idea is whatever knowledge Iblis enjoyed was given to him by Allah. It's not like he had some special, something so special that would make him immune to the commands of Allah, that make him immune from from following the commands of Allah. He had nothing of that. It's not like he was present witnessing as Allah was creating the heavens and the earth. He was not that special. But the love of fame and the sweetness of being important got to his head and led to his downfall. The contrasting example is ayah number 60 of Musa alayhi salam. Okay, he is presented as a contrast. These two stories are, they serve as a contrasting example. Iblis, he acquired knowledge, he gained stature, and that led to his downfall. Musa alayhi salam acquired knowledge, he gained stature, one of the greatest prophets, the one who Allah spoke to directly. But that made him more humble. That made him more eager to be a devoted servant of Allah. That made him more eager to learn. Ayah number 60 says, وَإِذْقَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا. Recall how Moses said to his servant, I shall not give up until I reach the place where both seas meet, even if it takes me years. Okay? فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا. When he at last they came to the land where the two seas met, they forgot their fish and it swiftly made its way into the sea. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَا قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ آتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا. After they passed the place, Moses said to his young companion, bring us our morning meal. We have indeed been fatigued by this journey. He replied, did you see when the rock was resting, when we were resting by the rock, that I forgot the fish? Satan made me forget it, so I did not mention it. It made its way to the sea in a miraculous way. قَالَ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنَّا نَبْغِي. Moses said that is what we were looking for. So they went back the way they had come. Okay, quick question here. Is my screen clearly visible to the people? Because last time I think it was like a split screen and whatnot. Is it clearly visible? Can you see the Quran on, right? And you can see the translation, inshallah? Okay, thank you very much. All right, I don't want to... all right, perfect, alhamdulillah. I don't want to... sometimes Zoom has like these settings, it keeps flipping back and forth. Sometimes I'm tweaking some settings and maybe I mess up something. If it is the case, please do remind me immediately. Jazakumullahu khairan. All right, here is Musa alayhi salam. What's the story behind this this passage? Musa alayhi salam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there is a man who is more knowledgeable than you, O Moses. You need to go and seek him, okay? And you need to go and learn from him. And the way you will go find him is you will take a fish. And the fish, this is fish, obviously, when you take the fish out of water, it dies, correct? You take this fish. But when you reach the point where you're going to meet this man, the fish will spring back to life and enter the sea, okay? That's what Musa is traveling. And he first says, as you noticed in the previous page here, he says, I'm going to keep traveling. I'm going to go to this place, Majma' al-Bahrain, the place where the two seas meet. That's what Allah told him. That's where you find this man. He's like, I'm going to do this even if it takes me years. Meaning, I will go and seek this man and learn from him even if it takes me years and years. This is the attitude of humility. The prerequisite of learning is humility. And that's what Musa alayhi salam is demonstrating. Okay, but more on that in a little bit. Now, when they reach there, they forgot that they forgot to pay attention to the fish. The fish sprung up and went into the sea. But then eventually they were able to figure out or walk back to that place. This is an interesting little detail the Quran mentions, right? A very interesting detail. Like, what's the deal? Why doesn't the Quran just pick up from here? فَوَجَدَ عَبْدًا مِّنْ عِبَادِنَا. Ayah number 65. They found one of our great servants to whom we had granted our mercy and had given a knowledge from ourselves. And then Musa starts to speak to him. Why not pick up the conversation from here? What's the point of telling us about Musa alayhi salam traveling, his young companion, his servant, forgetting, then they walk back to the place. The wisdom, Allahu alam, Allah knows the full wisdom. But the wisdom is when you work with people, that's also a trial. That's a test of life. It's a test of patience, right? You feel like you can do something, and when you do something, you feel like you can do it exactly how it should be done. But then you delegate it to somebody. Sometimes you wonder if it was more efficient for me to do it than teaching this person how to do it. Because, and it still doesn't get done right. Sometimes you have to wonder, right? But this is life. Life is not lived individually and you just do everything by yourself and, you know, that's it. No, life is about also, you know, training people and working with people and being patient with people. And Musa alayhi salam is being patient with this young man. This young man, the Quran doesn't mention it in this passage, but the books of Tafsir mention that this young man, his name was Yusha ibn Nun, or as known in the Bible, Joshua. And he was the next leader of Bani Israel. And he would be the man who would lead Bani Israel to the promised land of Jerusalem. You see? So Musa alayhi salam is spending his time, you know, training this young man. Okay? And being patient with this young man's mistakes. And this is a lesson for us. You know, it's an interesting thing to consider that when you are, it's part of life to be able to do that, to be able to work with people and bring them along, so to say. Okay? فَارْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا. Very interesting. They went back the way they came. And this is often sometimes what happens. You're going to do something good. You lose your way. Don't worry. Musa al-Islam lost his way too. And he went back and found the spot. This is not like, don't think that if you're doing something good and, you know, some difficulties come in the way of that good, all of a sudden, maybe God doesn't want me to do this good. No, no. It's just maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see how really serious you are and committed you are in doing that good. Right? And that is what perhaps is another wisdom of this. Okay? Qasas, and by the way, is an interesting word. Qasas from the word qissa, which is a story. But it's used here to describe them retracing their footsteps. That's exactly what a story is supposed to be. And the Quran stories are meant to be. You don't just retrace your somebody. You put yourself in their shoes. Try to learn from the protagonist's experience and the lessons. And that's a, you know, so that's what the story, well, that's what Allah expects of us when He tells us a story in the Quran. Okay. Now, Musa alayhi salam meets this man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, our servants whom we had granted our mercy and given a knowledge from ourselves. The Quran is not, doesn't make it clear if this person is a prophet or not. However, in fact, it is, you know, and this is a debate between scholars, is this man a prophet or not? But it seems like, وَالْآيَةُ تَشْهَدُ بِنُبُوَّتِهِ لِأَنَّ بَوَاطِنَ فَعَلِهِ لَا تَكُونُ إِلَّا بِوَحِي. Like the scholars say that the ayah itself is lending evidence to the fact that he was a prophet, because what he's going to do cannot be done just by intuition or by just mere experience. He's clearly acting on revelation. Okay, so if he's clearly acting on revelation, clearly that man's a prophet. He's not just, you know, something, just a good man. Okay, and the fact that Allah says, we taught him and gave him mercy, that again gives a credence to that. The man's name is Khidr. The Quran doesn't mention it, but the hadith mention his name, Khidr. Okay? And the majority of scholars actually say that he was a prophet. Wallahu alam. Okay, but the point of the story is Musa alayhi salam. Okay? What is Musa alayhi salam's attitude? He says, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْتًا. Moses said to him, may I follow you so that you may guide me by what you have been taught. Contrast this with the example of Iblis. Musa has status, Musa has knowledge. Iblis had status, Iblis had knowledge. But the knowledge of Iblis made him arrogant. The knowledge of Musa made him humble. And that is what true knowledge is supposed to be. That's what true growth is. When you learn, the true sign of growth is you have matured and become humble, not more full of yourself. That is what Musa alayhi salam is demonstrating. He didn't go up to Khidr and say, hey, you know who I am? I am Moses. God spoke to me. I defeated the Pharaoh. I am this. I am that. Okay, tell me what you have of the knowledge. That's not how he was talking to Khidr. He's like, can I follow you around? Can I learn from you at your convenience? Look at the amazing etiquettes that this great prophet is demonstrating, alayhi salam. Okay, Now Khidr says, you won't be able to bear it. It's going to be too much for you. Okay. Musa said, and he says, how can you bear it? Because you don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing. Musa says, Satajiduni inshallahu sabiran. You will find me patient and I will not disobey you in anything. Okay. Khidr says, okay, there's a condition. The condition is, if I do something, if you're going to follow me, don't ask me about why I'm doing something until I tell you about it. Okay, before we move on, important note. Khidr is going to do things that are not condoned in the religion. The point of the story is not to say, okay, this is fine to do. Okay, this is not in any way the point of the story. This is historical details of people of the past. And when Allah mentions historical details of people of the past, it's not always everything they did is acceptable. Okay. It is that there is a lesson to be learned from their story. And what they did is not, especially a prophet that did something in the past, is not to be exactly replicated in our times today. Okay. After the coming of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? What is to be done is what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. But the morals of what they did is what we are trying to acquire. That's point number one. Point number two is also, Khidr here, please understand, he's acting like, in this story, Khidr is acting like the angel of death. He is acting like a agent from Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, right? If Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala was to send, an angel of death to take someone's soul, that's exactly what Khidr is acting like right now in this circumstance. Because anything else, he would be committing the most heinous crimes. Okay, and he's doing this again, as we will see, not on his accord, but by the command of Allah, by the command of God. Okay, that caveat, that disclaimer, let's start. Three things happen. Number one, they set out. فَانْتَلَقَ حَتَّى إِذَا رَكِبَ فِي السَّفِينَةِ They boarded a ship. And as they board a ship, Khidr made a hole in it. Musa alayhi salam is outraged. قَالَ أَخَرَقْتَهَا لِتُغْرِقَ أَهْلَهَا Have you made a hole in the boat to drown in it, drown the people in it? What a terrible thing. You've done a dreadful thing, Khidr. This is exactly what you would expect of a moral person, to be outraged when he sees something like that. But Khidr, again, like I told you, and what Musa alayhi salam is also maybe forgetting in his zeal for the truth, is Khidr is not acting as a human right now. He's acting as an agent of God, okay? Like as if Allah has sent a wind and the wind caused it to crack, the ship to crack, okay? Khidr says, did I not tell you that you will not be able to bear with me patiently? أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا Musa says, قَالَ لَا تُؤَخِذْنِي بِمَا نَسِيتِ He's like, I forgot. Sorry, okay? I forgot. Please, don't take me to task for what I've forgotten. And this is important. People should get second chances. And Khidr gives a second chance to Musa and says, وَلَا تُرْهِقْنِي مِنْ أَمْرِي عُسْرًا Don't go hard on me, right? For what I've done. You know, it was a moment of forgetfulness. Don't take me to task for it. And that's good. That's how it should be. If someone forgets, they shouldn't be like penalized for it. They should be given a second chance. Musa gets a second chance. فَانْطَلَقَ حَتَّى إِذَا لَقِيَ غُلَامًا فَقَتَلَهُ They traveled on. They met a young boy and the man killed him. Musa alayhi salam cannot bear this. قَالَ قَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا نُكْرًا Have you slain an innocent person without his having slain anyone? Meaning, have you slain someone that doesn't deserve to die? Indeed, you have done a terrible thing. And again, the idea of doesn't deserve to die is that justice is served, you know, in like due process, okay? Particularly in Islam, there is no vigilante justice. It has to be served in due process. All right. Khidr says, أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا This is where the juz begins, okay? Ayah number 75. Did I not tell you that you will not be able to have any patience with me, oh Musa? Musa is like, well, if I was to ask about anything else after this, you don't have to accompany me, right? I've run out of excuses. You were right. I've run out of excuses. Okay. Khidr gives him one more chance. فانطلقا, the third thing. They went on until they came to a town. They asked its people for food, but were refused hospitality. This was like abhorrent back in the day, right? Because back in the day, if a traveler came to your town, there's no hotels that they can go check in. right? They would actually seek hospitality with the people, right? They would go to like the center of the town and be like, hey, I'm a guest. And someone would be like, okay, I'll take care of you or whatnot, okay? That's how it used to be. But these people were so disgusting and vile that a guest that came from out of town, they wouldn't even give them food. You're essentially leaving them to starve, okay? That's how terrible these people were. All right. فَوَجَدَ فِيهَا جِدَارًا يُرِيدُ أَن يَنْقَضَّ فَأَقَامَ. Now, in this town full of these kind of stingy people, they found a wall in the town which was about to fall down. His companion, فَأَقَامَهُ خِضْر, buttressed it, meaning he fixed it up. Okay. Moses said, لَوْ شِئْتَ لَتَّخَذْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. He's like, if you want, had you wished, you could have demanded a payment for your labors. He's like, these guys aren't even giving us food, which is the basic decency you would expect. And here you are giving them free labor. You can have asked them for some money at least, right? In the spirit of being, you know, fair. Khidr says, this is it. You and I must part company. That's it. He didn't even ask him why, but this is what happens when you run out of excuses, if you push your luck too many times. Now a small little thing, like they say, the straw that breaks the camel's back. This was the straw that broke the camel's back. All right. So, but he says, I will tell you why I did what I did. He says, number one, that ship belonged to some poor people who used to make their living at the sea. Okay. And I wanted to damage it because there was a king coming behind that was seizing every boat by force. So now when he sees a broken or damaged ship, he won't be interested in seizing it. So this calamity saved them from a bigger calamity. That's the lesson. Sometimes calamities in life will save you from a bigger calamity later on in life. That's the story, or that's the lesson or the moral of the story. Okay, remember I told you, Khidr is acting like an agent of God here, right? An agent of God came and did this to the ship. It's a calamity. They're like, we're going to sink, but they're working, you know, diligently to fix it. But that calamity prevented them from a bigger calamity, which was their boat getting seized and them being enslaved probably. Okay. So that is the thing. The second thing, that's for the young man. The boy, his parents were believers and we feared that he would trouble them by rebellion and denial of truth. So we wanted their Lord to replace him with someone purer than him and more compassionate. Okay. This boy was, again, as I said, Khidr here is acting like the angel of death. He took this boy's life. Now, this is the thing. This is an unspeakable tragedy for the parents. They just lost a child. But sometimes in that, there is some wisdom. Not to belittle. This is a very difficult thing. Any parent who's lost a child, trust me, this is, I speak for experience here. This is not an easy thing to bear. Okay. But Allah always has a plan. And this is the thing we trust Allah with. Even in the deep, darkest moments that we have in our lives, the deepest sorrows that we suffer, Allah always has a plan. This is what the Prophet did too. He lost six of his children. Seven children he had in total. Six of them died when he was still alive. Three of his boys died in infancy. All three of them. Okay. This is, you know, this loss and tragedy. It's not like it's only reserved for like, this person or that person. The Prophet experienced it, I think, far more than the vast majority would ever would. Right. And what did he teach us? He taught us, Inna al-ayna la tadma' wa inna al-qalba la yahzan. The eye is overflowing with tears and the heart is extremely grieved, but we only say what pleases our Lord. That is how the believer is to be. The idea here of this thing, of the story, is this was a boy that Allah tested this family by taking away their child, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reward them with their patience by giving them another child who would be better and purer for them. Okay. So this is sometimes the thing. Sometimes you lose something. This is the moral of the story. Story number two. You lose something and you may see that that's the end of the line. There's nothing good that can come from this. And there's nothing good that can come after it because of the emotion in the moment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to realize that there is something good that can come afterwards. Allah can replace what you've lost with something better. Trust him and he will do so. Okay. And number three is that the two orphans whose father was a righteous man. Okay. In the middle of this evil city, there was a righteous man and who passed away. Tragedy, right? But these two young men, these two young orphans, had a treasure that their father had left behind and buried it for safekeeping under that wall. And then Khidr made sure that it remained buried so that when they came of age, they can dig up the treasure as a mercy from him. Because had the treasure been discovered, these evil people would have taken it and these two orphans would have been left with nothing. So this was Allah's protection. And the moral of this story is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in the middle of evil, right? Or very disgusting, vile people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect the good people who are there, right? And even if the good people pass away, Allah will take care of their families. He will do so. He will make means to take care of the family of the righteous, even after they have passed away. Rahmatan min Rabbik, as a mercy from him. These are three stories that we learn from the story of Musa and Khidr. Three morals, very powerful stories. All of them are around trials and tribulations of life. The point is, when Allah tests us and takes away something or we suffer a tragedy, there is a wisdom and Allah is testing us to see if we trust his wisdom and we trust him. And if you are patient, Allah will replace what we have lost in this dunya, and most definitely in the next life, that tragedy will bring about lots and lots of goodness. Not that we ask for tragedy. This is an important thing. We don't ask. We're like, oh Allah, try me. We don't do that, right? But when we only ask Allah for health and well-being and protection, okay? Only that. We don't ask Allah for trials and tribulations. But if Allah sends trials and tribulations our way, we say to Allah, Allah, we trust you because you know what you're doing and we are, fickle emotional beings. The last story is the story of Dhulqarnain, a very complex story. If I actually have a lot of notes about Dhulqarnain, but it's a complicated story about a man of power and authority. Okay, it starts from ayah 83 and goes to ayah number 98. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِلْقَرْنَيْنِ قُلْ سَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. I will tell you an account of him. This is an ambiguous story by design. Why is this an ambiguous story by design? Because the people of Makkah, before Surah Kahf was revealed, they were quizzing the Prophet ﷺ about a few aspects to verify whether he was a true prophet. And those aspects they had gotten from the Jewish community in Medina. Okay, they went to Medina and asked the Jewish rabbis, okay, tell us something to ask a youth of the cave. Ask him about the soul and ask him about the Dhulqarnain, the man who had power and authority. Okay, ask him about these three things. The Prophet ﷺ, when he was asked, he replied, I will tell you tomorrow. And he didn't say, inshallah. And then the revelation didn't come tomorrow. It actually was delayed by a number of days. The people of Quraysh were laughing at him. But those who were interested in the answer were like, if he is a true prophet, he would never bring about this embarrassment to himself. The fact that he doesn't speak until he has gotten revelation says that there is something real about this. And then, of course, the Quran was revealed and spoke about the youth of the cave. The story of the soul was in the previous surah. And then this Dhulqarnain is the final story of this chapter, right? And in this one, it's ambiguous because it's something that is a response to the Jewish community, something perhaps in the Jewish scriptures that they found, that they had, and the Quranic narrative is pointing to or answering what those things are. Okay, the khulasa, the summary of this story is, this is a man who was established in the land and had means to achieve all things. So he had the ultimate power and the ultimate authority, and his ultimate power and ultimate authority did not make him a tyrant. It made him into a righteous man. Okay, and this is the that is the lesson from the story of Dhulqarnain. He would act righteously. He even supported people who needed support. قَالَ مَا مَكَّنِّي فِيهِ رَبِّي خَيْرٌ. Right? My Lord has given me is better than any tribute. These people wanted to pay him to build a wall to protect them against Gog and Magog. Okay? And he says, I don't need your money. Ayah number 95, مَا مَكَّنِّي فِيهِ رَبِّي خَيْرٍ. What my Lord has given me is better than anything you can offer me. I have enough money. I have the power and the authority from Allah. I have, you know, been blessed by Allah. I don't need your money, but help me with laborers. And that is exactly what these people did. So this was the point of this story is, here is a man who, despite all the good, despite, you know, having absolute power, it did not corrupt him. It did not make him a tyrant. And that's a rare thing. There are very few kings in the world, in the history of the world, that were like this. Dawud alayhi salam, excuse me, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Solomon is one of them, and Dhulqarnain is one of them. People who had ultimate power and authority, but they were not corrupted by that power. And that is also a test. Power is a test. Knowledge and status is a test. Money and luxury is a test. And the following the true religion is a test. And those are the stories that are covered in Surah Kahf. This is perhaps the reason why the Prophet said that the person who recites Surah Kahf on Friday, they are given a divine light by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the next Friday, right? And this is perhaps the reason why, because it's a reminder of the trials and tribulations. Surah Kahf concludes with a very beautiful conclusion. أَفَحَسِبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا Ayah number 102. And يَتَّخِذُوا عِبَادِي مِن دُونِي أَوْلِيَا Do those who deny the truth think they can make my servants patrons instead of me? We have reserved hell as a lodging for those who deny the truth. Should I tell you, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَمَعْلَى Should I tell you of those who will lose the most through their actions? Those whose efforts have been wasted in the life of the world. While they thought they were doing good, they are the ones who deny their Lord's signs. كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ They reject it. They receive the signs of the Lord and they reject it. Whether these signs are in the scripture or these signs are in the creation or these signs are from their innate moral compass, they reject them. وَلِقَائِهِ And they reject any accountability. Meeting with him is accountability. Their life is just about this life and they, off they go. فَحَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ Their works are in vain. Their work doesn't count for anything on the Day of Judgment. What they did in this world is for this world. For the Day of Judgment, we will not give any weight to those actions. And that is their reward. That will be their repayment. Because they denied the truth. And they made a jest of my signs and my messengers. But the believers, on the other hand, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Those who believe and do good works shall have gardens of paradise for their abode. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلًا They shall dwell in it forever, desiring no change. This is so beautiful. Desiring no change. This is one of the greatest feelings you can ever have. Where you're so happy and content, you don't want to change. Someone says, okay, come, let's go to a better place. You would say, I have no need to go to a better place. I'm so happy here. That is the contentment you get in paradise. Even if paradise, someone says, come, let's go to a better place in paradise. You would say, no, alhamdulillah, I am very, very happy here. I have absolutely zero desire to change or to leave my place and to go to some other place because I'm so happy here. The ultimate happiness, contentment, the ultimate satisfaction and peace without any fear, without any ill feelings. That's the Allah describes the emotions you feel in paradise more than the materialistic pleasures, because those frankly are hard for us to conceptualize, but the emotions we can conceptualize, and that is what paradise represents. لا يبغون عنها حوالا قل لو كان البحر مدادا لكلمات ربي Tell them, if the ocean became an ink for writing the words of my Lord, surely the ocean would be exhausted before the words of my Lord came to an end. Even if we were to add another ocean to it, that's how deep the words of Allah are. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ I am only a human being like yourselves. يُوحَى إِلَيَّ It is revealed to me that your God is one God. The Prophet ﷺ is a human being. Okay, all prophets were human beings, but they were messengers chosen by Allah, picked by Allah Himself, revealed to them by Allah Himself. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا So let him who hopes to meet his Lord do good deeds, and let him associate no one else in the worship of his Lord. This is such a beautiful ayah. It's a pivotal ayah for us. What should your life be? What is life about? How do you deal with the tests and tribulations of life? You deal with it, or you go through it by, number one, يَرُجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. We are hoping to meet Allah. Right? Our life is not about right now. It's not just goals of life right now, financial goals, retirement goals, academic goals, career goals. Those are good, but that's not all. Our ultimate goal is to meet our Lord. Like the Prophet said, "Man ahabba liqa' Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu." The person who's looking forward to meeting Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking forward to meeting them, right? And then the Prophet would teach us a very beautiful supplication in which he would say, "Allahumma inni asaluka ladhata nazari ila wajhik. Wallah, I ask you to give me the pleasure of looking at you." Okay, washawqa ila liqa'ik, and the desire, the good hope and longing to meet you. This is the thing. Our life is about that day when we meet Allah and we live our lives doing everything so that we can be hopeful of meeting our Lord, not afraid of meeting our Lord. Be longing to meet our Lord, looking forward to that day, not being afraid of it when it does come. So that's number one. يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Number two, do good. عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. If you just said فَلْيَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا, that would be enough in Arabic. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Perhaps emphasizing. Just start with one good thing. Start with one good thing and make that a habit. Focus of life, good deeds. And number three, وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّي أَحَدًا. The one who made you is the one you should worship and no one else. The one who will take your life is the one you should worship and nobody else. The one who brought you into the world and take you out of the world, that's the only one who deserves to be worshipped, and that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord and my Lord. Okay, that is Surah Al-Kahf. And now we go to Surah Maryam, one of the most beautiful surahs of Quran. It is a phenomenal surah in the way if it's recited. This is a surah that the Prophet's companion Ja'far recited to the king of Abyssinia, the Negus, and Najashi. And those were Christians at that time. And they were so moved by it that they all started to cry in tears. It begins with these disjointed letters, Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad. This book mentions the righteous families, the family of Zachariah, okay? How he made dua to Allah in low tones. This is how dua is to be made. It's to be done privately, in humility. He said, "My Lord, my bones have weakened. My head has turned hoary with age." I guess it's washta'ala rasu shayba. That means hair have turned gray. "But never, Lord, have I been disappointed in my prayer to you." He's made dua for so many years. His dua has not been answered yet. But he says, "I've not lost hope. Never for a moment have I had thought that you will not answer my dua. That thought has not crossed my mind ever, my Lord." This is the attitude of a believer. This is the attitude of a believer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies to him that, "Ya Zakariya, ayah number 7, we will give you the good news of a son. Ismuhu Yahya. His name shall be Yahya, John. Lam naja'al lahu min qablu samiyya. We have not given such a name to anyone." And he said, "How could this be when it's not physically possible?" But Allah said, "Well, this is going to be a miracle. It's going to be a miracle." And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ya Yahya, khudh al-kitaba biquwwa. O John, hold fast to the book." And we gave him wisdom, bestowed upon him wisdom while he was still a child. This was a special child. He was a child of tenderness. He had a tender heart. And he was pure. He was pious. He was dutiful towards his parents. He was not jabbaran asiyya. He was not a tyrant. He was not disobedient. He was a gentle child. And Allah says, and a gentle man. Okay, and Allah says, "Salamun alayhi yawma wulid. Peace be upon him on the day of his birth and the day of his death and peace will be on him the day he will be raised up. Related to Zakaria and Yahya is the family of Maryam and her son Isa. Ayah number 16. Again, family, righteous families. The two righteous families are mentioned here. First, Zakaria and his child Yahya, and here, Maryam, and now Maryam alayhi salam. We spoke about Maryam alayhi salam quite a bit in Surah number 3. But what's worth recalling here is now, this is the life of Maryam after she is, you know, essentially a monk. Okay, she is now, but she's withdrawn from his people, from her people, and now she is by herself worshiping Allah. What happens? فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. We sent her our angel, who presented himself to her as a full-grown human being. She said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. She said, I seek refuge in the compassionate God from you. Don't come near me. Okay, she thought something bad is going to happen. Here's a man while she's all alone in her monastery. He said, no, I am a messenger of your Lord, and I'm here to bestow upon you the gift of a son endowed with purity, a pure son. She said, how is this possible? No man has touched me. I have not been, meaning I'm not married, and I have not been, promiscuous. He said, كَذَٰلِكِ قَالَ رَبُّكِ هُوَ عَلَيَّ هَيِّنٌ. This is what your Lord has said, and it is easy for me. It's a miracle. وَلِنَجَعَلَهُ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ. And we will make him a sign for the people. وَرَحْمَةً مِنَّا. And he will be a mercy and blessing from us. وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقْضِيًّا. And this is a done deal. Maryam, you have no choice in the matter. Okay? Let's look at how Allah describes Isa. He is an ayah. He is a sign from the signs of God. That's who he is, alayhi salam. He is truly a miraculous sign from the miraculous signs of God. And he is a mercy from God. Rahmatan minna. And that is something that we believe, and that is why we love him as well. Okay. She bore him, conceived him, without having relations, without being intimate. And now she is... she withdrew to an even more distant place because she did not want people to see her. Okay, but then when the pangs of labor drove her to, when she was about to give birth, it drove her to the date palm tree, and she was in that pain, saying, "I wish I had died before this," and was nasiyan mansiya, just passed into oblivion. But in that moment of difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthened her with this voice. And this voice could be the voice of Jibreel or the voice of Isa alayhi salam, Allahu alam, it's ambiguous. But either way, she was strengthened miraculously at that point by saying, La tahzani qad ja'ala rabbuki tahtaki sariya. Your Lord has provided a brook that runs at your feet, a small little river. Okay, and then shake this date palm tree, and then you will get these ripe, fresh dates. So eat and drink and rejoice. Sometimes when you're stressed, you need to eat a little bit, drink a little bit to calm yourself down. You know, stress eating has some precedence. It does work, okay? Maybe overeating while you're stressed, it doesn't always work. But it does help calm the nerves. When you're, you know, agitated, eat a little bit, drink a little bit, relax, and then you can collect yourself, okay? And now, this voice tells her, here's what you do. When you see a human being, and you have a child with you, they're gonna say, hey, they're going to assume the worst of you, right? And you cannot explain this. So what you do is you point to you just stay silent and say, I will not speak to a human being today. She comes to her people. They're like, oh, Maryam, ya Maryamu, oh, Mary, you have done something terrible. لَقَدْ جِئْتِ شَيْئًا فَرِيًّا. You, a sister of Aaron. This is a reference to her being from the progeny of Harun, alayhi salam. Okay? You're from the progeny of Harun, and your father and mother are righteous people. How come you did this? Assuming the worst of her immediately, she pointed at him. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ. Didn't say anything. Okay. قَالُوا كَيْفَ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَهْدِ صَبِيًّا. How can we speak to someone who's a child? Right? What are you trying to do here? And that's when Isa alayhi salam spoke as a baby. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. He said, I am God's servant. آتَانِي الْكِتَابَ وَجَعْلَنِي نَبِيًّا. He has given me the book and made me a prophet. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ. Has made me blessed wherever I may be. أَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّ. Has enjoined upon me prayer and zakat, almsgiving, helping people as long as I'm alive. And he has made me dutiful towards my mother. And it has not made me arrogant or evil. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ. Blessed was I on the day I was born. And blessed I shall be on the day I die. And blessed I will be on the day I am raised back to life. ذَلِكَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. Such was Jesus, the son of Mary. قَوْلَ الْحَقِّ الَّذِي فِيهِ يَمْتَرُونَ. This is the whole truth about which they still dispute. مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ أَن يَتَّخِذَ مِنْ وَلَدٍ. Does not befit the majesty of God that he should have a child. He should, you know, beget a child. That he should bore a child. Subhanahu, glory to him. He is far above that. إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. When he decrees something, he only says be and it is. That is the majesty of Allah. That is how that he is not like us as human beings. He says be and it is. We are the furthest from that. We have to do everything, right? How different if you're trying to say God has a son, you have made him part of yourself, part of the world, part of the creation. He is far above that. And he's so far above that, that the creation is created by his word. Be and it is. That's how much of a travesty this is to say that God has a son. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ. And that Allah, God is my Lord and your Lord. So worship him alone. That is the straight path. Okay, what a beautiful description of who Isa alayhi salam is, and such a powerful passage. The surah has a passage about Ibrahim, a very beautiful passage. The trials of family, when family are not all seeing eye to eye when it comes to matters of faith. Ibrahim alayhi salam recount the story of Abraham in the book. He was a man of truth and a prophet, ayah 41. When he said to his father, notice he's going to speak to his father four times. Ya Abati. Ya Abati is like, oh my dear father. He's speaking very gently. Why do you worship something that can neither hear nor see nor benefit you in any way? Ya Abati, number two. Oh my dear father, I have received knowledge. I've been given knowledge that didn't come to you. So follow me. Ahdika siratan sawiyya. I will guide you to straight path. Ya Abati, number three. Don't worship. لا تعبد الشيطان. Don't worship the devil. Don't worship Satan. Because the devil is a rebellious one against the most merciful. Number four. Ya Abati. Oh, dear father. Indeed, I fear lest a punishment from the gracious one afflict you and you become a friend of the devil. فَذَكُونَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيَّ. He is speaking so beautifully. He is expressing his love and his care. He is stating the facts. I am a prophet. I have received revelation, O Allah. I have received revelation from Allah. That's facts. Okay. He is giving logical reasons. Why do you worship something that doesn't speak or doesn't hear, cannot benefit you? How does that make any sense? He is also giving emotional reasons. That, oh, Father, this is the work of the devil. Right? You don't want to be associated with that. He's given a comprehensive argument with the most care and love. While he's a young man, he's not even a grown adult just yet, the father is responding with violence or the threat of violence. He says, you reject my deities, Abraham? If you do not desist, I shall surely stone you to death. إِلَّمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ وَهَجُرْنِي مَلِيَّ. Keep out of my way. And when that happens, by the way, when there's a threat, you don't have to persist. You back off and, you know, take care of your well-being first and foremost. قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي. Peace be on you. I will pray to my Lord for your forgiveness. This is how Ibrahim alayhi salam was. This is how we should try our best to deal with our families, even if our families don't see eye to eye when it comes to faith. It mentions the story of Musa and how he was a chosen one. Indeed, a chosen one. Chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was كان رسول النبي. Okay, and he was called out from the right side of the mount of Tur, and we made him draw close to us in communion, and we blessed him with our mercy, and gave him his brother as a helper, and made him also a prophet. Allah mentions Ismail, but again, see, notice again the family, the surah speaking about families, Zakaria and his family, Maryam and Isa and their family. Ibrahim and his family with his father. Musa and Harun, brothers in faith. Here, Ismail, alayhi salam, the son of Ibrahim. And what does it say about Ismail? وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ He used to tell his family. It says his people, but really his people, Ahl is actually family, first and foremost. He would command his people, his family, to pray and give zakat. وَكَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيَّ Such a beautiful story connecting all these prophets together. Okay, it says about the prophets, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ Ayah number 58. These prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen them and has favored them. أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ That's what we say. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ The path of those that you have blessed. These are the path. These are the people that Allah has blessed. And these are the people whose path we follow. Okay, they are the ones who, look at what happens. إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَةُ الرَّحْمَنِ خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَبُكِيًّا When revelations of the merciful were recited to them, they fell down, prostrating themselves and weeping. The revelation increased them in faith. It increased them in humility. It increased them in devotion. That is the example of the prophets that we like to follow. Okay? فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ But of course, people are people. Like I told you, the Quran always keeps it real. People have been messed up, people will be messed up, and don't let the messed up people distract you or detract you from the truth of the scriptures. فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ Then they were succeeded by generations. أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةَ Neglected the prayers. Better translation, they wasted the prayers. That's the beginning of the end. That's the beginning of the downfall. وَاتَّبَعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ And they were driven by their desires. More precise translation, they followed their whims and desires. They didn't follow the revelation, they followed their whims and desires. And that's why they lost their religion. That's why they fell into a situation in a terrible situation as a community. Okay. Of course, this is a warning to us, lest we fall into it ourselves as well. We hold on to our prayers, we follow the revelation, we don't follow our desires and whims. The losing the religion. Here's another example. A man would say, once I am dead, shall I be raised to life again? How is this going to happen? أَوَلَا يَذْكُرُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ Does man not remember that we created him when he was nothing before? We were nothing. Out of nothingness, Allah brought us into existence. فَوَرَبِّكَ لَنَحْشُرَنَّهُمْ So by your Lord, we shall most surely gather them and the devils too and bring them close to hell on their knees. Then we shall carry off from every group those who were most stubborn in their opposition to the gracious one, and then we know who best is deserving of being in the fire. Everyone is going to pass through it. كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا A decree from your Lord which must be fulfilled, and then we shall save those who feared God, those who truly want to follow the revelation, who feared Allah, Allah will save them. But the wrongdoers, they shall be left in hellfire. What does this mean? This passage is talking about that everybody will pass over a bridge that goes over the fire of hell and leads to paradise. And that bridge, crossing it, is like the final leg of the trial and tribulations of the people will face. Literally the last one, and after that, it is paradise and happiness for all time. And that's what Allah says. Allah will... All of us will pass through it, but Allah will make sure that He will protect His believing servants. And this is an important thing for us, that we are afraid of Allah's punishment, but we're also hopeful always in Allah's mercy. Okay? The surah concludes with the Quran talking about the idea of a God having a child. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا They say the gracious one has begotten a son. But that is a monstrous falsehood. And it's so false that it might cause the cosmos to collapse. That you claimed that God has a son. وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَنِ أَن يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا It is not appropriate. It's not becoming for Ar-Rahman, the most compassionate God, to take a son for himself. In fact, that would be where if he takes a son, then everybody else is second-class citizens. Every other race is a second-class citizen. That child's race is the dominant one. And now the God becomes like no different than human beings. And then if God's son is there, who do you worship? God or the son? Or both? And who's in charge? What if one of says, let's forgive, and the other says, let's not forgive? These are, it's riddled with contradictions. And that's what Allah says, in kullu man fis samawati wal ardi illa ati ar-rahmani 'abda. There is none in the heavens or the earth but shall return to the merciful in utter submission. Every single one is the same when they return to Allah. They're returning in utter submission. That is the role of the human. We are in utter submission to our Lord. Whether we choose to be or we don't choose to be. It's not that if you elevate a human above that, right, you've elevated it to the level of a God. And that's why it's such a preposterous thing to say that God has begotten His Son. وَلِيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ He has counted them and numbered them precisely, and everybody will come to Him on the Day of Judgment. آتِي يَنْقَدِي farda, one by one, individually. Just like we entered the world as individuals, we will be held accountable on the Day of Judgment as individuals. But on this warning is severe. Allah ends by saying, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُوا لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدًّا. The Lord of Mercy will bestow affection upon those who believe and perform righteous deed. فَإِنَّمَا يَسَرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ. The mercy and the love of Rahman will be given to these people. This Quran, the Prophet, we made it easy upon you, so you may convey the good news to the people. وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ. How many generations we have destroyed before them. هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. Can you find a single one of them alive now? أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا. Or hear so much as a whisper from them. Hypothetical question to say, if Allah wants, when Allah wanted to do this, that's the power He possessed to completely remove all traces of a civilization from the face of the earth. That's His power. If he wants to punish, that's how much power He has. But He is Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. He gives us chances after chances and delays the judgment to the Day of Judgment. Okay, next surah is Surah Taha, surah number 20. Surah Taha is talking about, as we spoke about trials and tribulations of faith, we're speaking about the difficulties of faith, especially when it comes to relating to family. Faith is not about grief. طَهَا مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. We have not sent down the Quran to distress you. It is a reminder, exhortation. لِمَنْ يَخْشَى. It is about attaining peace and serenity. It's not about making your life miserable. Don't be distressed. But the revelation is not meant to distress you. Okay, this is an important idea the Quran highlights. Okay, inshallah, no problem. Zakalaka. Thank you, Papa. Tanzila mimma khalaqa al-arda wa samawati al-ula. It is a revelation from Him who has created the earth and high heavens. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arsh istawa. The most merciful settled on the throne. He transcends the cosmos, the creation. He is settled upon the throne. He is not part of the creation. That would restrict and limit Him. He is beyond limits. Lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth, whatever lies in between them and whatever lies under the ground. People who lived before, people who are living now, and everything between the people and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's all His kingdom. It's all His kingdom. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's how He is the only one worthy of worship. Allahu la ilaha illahu. There is no deity but Him. To Him belong the most excellent names. Now the story turns, the surah turns to the story of Musa. وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. Ayah number 9 to ayah number 99. Ayah number 99, all the way, right? So you go from page number 312 to page number 319, right? That's 7 pages of speaking about the story of Musa alayhi salam in depth. There's so much about the story of Musa that we find in the Quran. Let's see, we've studied this a little bit before in surah number 7, right? But we'll highlight some interesting things here about Musa alayhi salam. Firstly, he sees a fire. Now, this is now picking up the story from he is returning back to Egypt to, you know, set his people free. And as he approaches, as he's going back, you know, they're in the middle of the desert, he sees a fire. He tells his family, wait here. I see a fire. Maybe I can bring a brand from it or find some guidance at the fire. Okay, he's thinking about guidance as in how to find the way, maybe some brand of fire to warm us up. But what he got is he got the guidance to go to Jannah, to become one of the greatest prophets. And a brand, which is revelation, that didn't just warm them you know, physically, but also warm their souls. Musa alayhi salam, when he came to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was told, Ya Musa, you are in the sacred valley of Tuwa. Take off your shoes. This is a sign of respect. I have chosen you, O Moses. فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. So listen carefully to what is being revealed. What is the matter at hand? إِنَّنِي أَنَ اللَّهِ. Speaking in first person, Allah says to Musa alayhi salam, I am God. There is no deity save me. So worship me alone. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. And establish the prayers. Say your prayers in my remembrance. You see, this is why Musa alayhi salam is called Kalimullah, the one who Allah spoke to, because this is how he received his first revelation. The Prophet got the first revelation through Jibreel alayhi salam. Iqra. Musa alayhi salam got his first revelation like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to him directly. Don't mistake that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is somehow in this fire and now he's speaking from this fire. No, Allah is above his throne. Please don't forget that. That's why the surah began by mentioning this fact. In a manner that befits him. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa alayhi salam through that fire in a way that befits his majesty, in a way that befits the majesty of Allah, not like our speech, but the way we move our tongues and our lips and our you know, voice box, that's how we speak. Okay, but it was speech that befits the majesty of Allah. How it was, we leave that to Allah. That is something that is not known to us, and it is not even maybe comprehensible to us at this point. Okay, but what is known is he spoke, and he wasn't in the fire. No, it was the voice or the speech was coming out of the fire. And this is what Allah said to him: I am number one, Tawheed, La ilaha illa ana. And then, how do you remain devoted to Tawheed? How do you stay on the religion? How do you stay connected to Allah? Through the prayer. And the prayer is there so that we can remember Allah. That's the point of the prayer. أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. For my remembrance. The prayer is meant to be a place where we are reminded of Allah. Right? Sometimes we go through the motions. It's okay. It's good. It's good to go through the motions. It's better than not doing it. Not praying. But don't forget, the prayer is a way to connect to our Lord. And that is something we should always strive for. Strive for it by being mindful, by learning what you're saying, by supplicating earnestly and meaningfully in your prayer. These are ways we connect back to our Lord, inshallah. Okay? Inna sa'ata la'atiya. The hour is coming. I have kept it hidden so that every human will be recompensed in accordance with his labors. Okay? Very interesting. Tawheed. Oneness of Allah, prayer, and then the Day of Judgment. Three very beautiful, three things to live by, so to say. Okay. What is this in your right hand, O Moses? وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ. Of course, Allah knows what it is. That's why he says tilka, not وَمَا هِيَ or وَمَا هُوَ بِيَمِينِكَ. Okay. He says the word tilka. He knows tilka is the feminine pointing noun. Okay, so he knows it's a feminine object. He's not inquiring about the nature of the object. That would mean that he would have to use the masculine noun. Okay, the fact he uses feminine is to show he knows it, but he's asking Musa alayhi salam because there's a reason. Maybe he wants to show him the true reality of what's in his hand. Musa replies, this is my staff, and I lean on it. I beat the leaves down with it for my flock. I have other uses for it. Right? You see this small talk here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning because Allah loves Musa alayhi salam. He, as we will see, ayah number وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. I have chosen you for myself. It says also, that's ayah number 20, there. أَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي. Sorry, where did that ayah go? I'll show you in a bit, sorry. The staff of Musa alayhi salam. Let me just wrap up with this inshallah quickly. Musa alayhi salam, he said, he mentions about his staff. Allah mentions all these extra details. Wisdom is known to Allah, but probably because he wants to show his exceeding love for his servant and his prophet Musa alayhi salam. He says to Musa, throw it, O Musa. And it became a fast moving serpent. Allah says, Musa, don't worry. You'll be fine. You'll be okay. Just take hold of it. This is a great miracle. Another great miracle, the hand that came out of the armpit shining. Okay. Now you're giving miracles. اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. Go to the Pharaoh. He has transgressed all bounds. Tell him to let the people go. Musa alayhi salam, when he's faced with this monumental task, he makes a beautiful dua. This is a dua that I usually make when I start the lecture. قَالَ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. I want you to underline this. This is a dua you should also make for yourselves. My Lord, open up my chest, my heart. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي means, oh Allah, just the emotions I feel, make it bearable. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. My anxieties, make them bearable. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي, make my task easy. وَأَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي, loosen the knot in my tongue. يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي, so that they may understand my speech. Let the words flow. Give me all the means to do my task. Let me be able to deal with the difficulty and the anxiety. Make the task easy. Open up the words so my tongue, so I can, words can flow freely, so they can understand what I have to say. يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. And give me a helper from my family. This is not a task to be done individually. My brother, Harun, who would support me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we have given what you have granted Moses, because you have been favored before. From before, you were favored, O Moses, chosen when you were floating as a baby. Floating as a baby on the river, when the Pharaoh was killing all the other babies. And how you were saved at that time. I showered my love on you, O Moses. وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَى عَيْنِي, so that you might be reared under my watchful eye. Allahu Akbar. You see how Musa alayhi salam is mentioned here? Allah says, أَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي, I showered my love on you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved Musa alayhi salam so dearly. And maybe perhaps that's why we find him mentioned the most in the Quran out of all prophets. Okay, Musa said, your sister was the one who was there to take care of you. And she directed you back so your mother can breastfeed you every day. And we protected you then. We protected you when you, unintentionally killed a person. We protected you when you sought refuge in Midian. And now you're back, O Musa. ثُمَّ جِئْتَ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِي يَا مُوسَىٰ. Now you're back to meet your life's purpose. Because I have chosen you for myself. وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. SubhanAllah. How powerful are these verses? How amazing are they? Allah says, go to the Pharaoh. Again, إِنَّهُ طَغَىٰ. But when you go to the Pharaoh, قُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Speak to him gently. Maybe he may take heed or even feel the need to be afraid. Okay? We will see the encounter between Musa and Pharaoh more in Surah number 28, inshallah ta'ala. But what I want to show you is one interesting thing about, you might remember the encounter between Musa and the magicians. Ayah number 65. They said, Moses, will you throw down first or shall we be the first to throw down? Moses said, you throw down first. فَإِذَا حِبَالُهُمْ وَعِصِيُّهُمْ يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسَعَى. Suddenly their ropes and staffs appeared to him by their magic to be moving about rapidly. Here is the detail that is not mentioned in the other parts of the Quran. فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً مُوسَى. In his heart, Moses became apprehensive. He experienced fear. This surah speaks very personally about Musa alayhi salam. Allah's conversation, personal conversation with Musa. The fears and anxieties Musa alayhi salam felt as he was doing this immense task of freeing his enslaved people, standing up to the most evil tyrant who has ever lived. That is going to scare every single human being. And Musa alayhi salam, as manly as he was, he had the natural emotion of fear. Who wouldn't? Everybody's going to have it. That is one of the things the Quran teaches us. You are not stronger by neglecting your emotions or not having emotions. You're stronger when you understand your emotions and you can control them by dua, by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِي خِيفَةً مُوسَى. And immediately he relied on Allah. So Allah told him, لَا تَخَفْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلَىٰ. Don't be afraid, you will prevail. Throw the staff with your, that's in your right hand and you'll be fine. Subhanallah, right? And again, the story of Musa and the magicians accepting Islam, that's mentioned here as well. I'm going to skip to the part just to end with this, inshallah ta'ala. A lot of these details were covered in other stories, in other parts of the Quran. But the one part I like to finish off with is at the very end of the surah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in ayah number 130, فَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ. A very beautiful piece of advice to conclude this juz. Ayah number 130, فَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ. Be patient with anything they may say. وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. And glorify your Lord with His praise. قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا. Before the rising of the sun and before its setting. Again, an ayah for you to underline. Be patient. Bear with patience what people have to say. Don't let the emotions grip you. And this is a very hard thing. We ask Allah for guidance in doing this. Glorify your Lord before the sun rises and before the sun sets. This is morning and evening adhkar, the supplications and remembrances. Do this, please. Mamin ana illayl, and then glorify Him in the hours of the night. Wa atrafa an-nahar, and at the beginning and end of the day. La'allaka tarda, you glorify Allah at all these moments, these pivotal points of the day. When you're going to sleep, when you wake up, when you are starting your day, when you're ending your day. La'allaka tarda, so you can find comfort. This is how we find, you know, our peace. This is our happy place, through remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِّنْهُمْ. Do not regard with envy the worldly benefits we have given to some of them. Don't strain your eyes looking at what others have. Be content with what you have. وَرِزْقُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. Do not regard with envy the worldly benefits we have given to some of them. For with these we seek only to test them. The provision of your Lord is better and more lasting. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. Bid your people, your family, Ahl here is family. I don't know why he keeps translating it as your people. Bid your family to say their prayers. وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. And be constant in their observance. وَاسْطَبِرْ is the word ta here in, you know, in terms of morphology is implying this is a hard thing. This is harder than other types of patience. Other types of patience is just like not saying anything. This is patience of you have to force yourself to do it. And at certain times, every single day. That's quite hard. Overcoming that hardness, wastabir alayha, requires persistence. La nas'aluka rizqan. We demand nothing from you in terms of, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking you to take care of His creation. Okay? Nahnu narzuquk. We provide for you. And the end is, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى. The best end is that of righteousness. A very beautiful ending. It spoke about Musa alayhi salam quite extensively. I encourage you to read it, inshallah, on your own. Jazakumullah khairan for staying a little extra longer. We finished up, alhamdulillah, the end of the juz. And tomorrow I'll see you same time, same place, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.